Good morning, everyone. It certainly is good to be here today. It's good to see everyone that is out. We have a beautiful day to come together to worship our Heavenly Father for all that He's done for us. He has blessed us so richly in so many different ways. We really have nothing to complain about. And if God is our Father, and He is, He will take care of us no matter what is coming along. In James chapter 4, let's look at a couple verses before and after the scripture reading. James chapter 4, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? For He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The lessons that I am trying to present this year, I've gone over it a couple times, fall under one of three categories. Personal evangelism, personal knowledge about the Bible and God, and a personal relationship. So we try to work at improving those three areas in the lessons. The one this morning is going to be fitting into that personal relationship. Would God call us His friend? Years ago, in religion, among the denominations, you would often hear the phrase, is Jesus your personal Savior? Is He your personal Savior? And you would hear that over and over and over. And I think in the church, we have gotten away from that. Hopefully, we have not gotten away from that concept that Jesus must be our personal Savior, not someone else's, not general Savior, but our personal Savior. We must have a personal relationship with Him. When we read in James chapter 4, we talk about if we are a friend of the world, then we are at enmity with God. We are God's enemy. When we turn back to James chapter 2, and read beginning at verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith that was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. I call you friends. Would God call you His friend? Would God call me His friend? That is what I want to look at this morning. What is a friend? What is a friend? A friend is a loved one, a dear one, a companion, a partner. Friend is a term of endearment. You think about the friends that you have. Hopefully you have that loving relationship with them. They are dear to you. A partner, you think about a husband and wife, a partner or a companion. And it's an honor to be called a friend. It's an honor to be called a friend. And a friend, if you have any friends that are really close to you, you know if you're going through something, you can pick up the phone day or night, call that friend and say, can you help me with this? and you aren't going to have to worry or wonder. They are going to help you with whatever it is that you need help. Consider some of the Old Testament examples. Daniel, several stand out in my mind. Daniel was a man of consistently pure character. In Daniel 10:19, he's referred to as a man greatly loved by God. Greatly loved. Beloved by God. If God were still revealing his word today and the Bible was still being written, would he be able to put your name in there? Would he be able to put Bruce Hastings, beloved by God? Are we the friend of God? Would God consider us his friend? You think about other Old Testament worthies. Noah, Job, these are righteous people. But I want for us to consider Abraham, because Abraham is the one where it is not just mentioned once, but it is mentioned several times being a friend of God. And brothers and sisters, and I do use friends a lot in the sermon. I'm going to try to use brothers and sisters, so I'm not saying friend over and over today. Brothers and sisters, we are either a friend of God or an enemy of God. There's no place in between. There's no place in between. If we do not have that personal relationship, and I would say all of us considers God our friend, and I don't mean that in a casual way, but as a partner, a companion, a term of endearment, but the question is, does God consider us his friend? In the bulletin this morning, I have the passages where Abraham is called the friend of God. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? In Isaiah 41:8, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. And James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So if we notice some of the characteristics of Abraham that he displayed, hopefully if we can adapt those characteristics in our life, it will cause us to be called God's friend also. Christ said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So Christ says that he will call us friends. We can be friends with Christ, but it's conditional. Conditional. We have to do whatever Christ commands us. Well, one of the things to begin noticing with Abraham is his faithfulness. And if we turn in Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and what is faithfulness? When we think of being faithful, Abraham is someone we usually think of. And he was the father of the faithful. Faithful, that's trustworthy, that's believing in, that's following God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So here we see that Abraham was faithful. When God called him, He left where he grew up. He left where he was, where all of that would have been his. He left for an inheritance that God said that he would give him, but it was an inheritance that he would never see in his lifetime. He would never see that while he was alive. And when we look at these characteristics too, and well, let's just look in chapter 11, drop down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up from the dead, for which he also received him in a figurative sense. So, sometimes the Bible spells out things for us that we may overlook, and we've got to consider our own lives as we are looking at these examples. We see in Hebrews 11 that Abraham was tested. Was this the only time that Abraham was tested, when God wanted him to offer up his son Isaac? Well, we read about another test earlier in Hebrews 11 when God called him to leave his home. "I'm going to take you and show you a place." But Abraham was faithful in both of these. Friends, we don't know how many times the things that we go through in our life when God is testing us. When God is testing us. Are we faithful? Are we faithful in the test that God gives us? We read of Abraham's faith in Genesis 22. Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God. Abraham believed God. Do we have the same kind of faith that Abraham does? We need to ask ourselves that. It's easy to get caught up in the mindset of the world and worry and complain about things that are going on. Worry and complain about things in our own life. And I'm talking about myself. You can consider your life. It's easy. But do we have the faith that Abraham had, where God says, "I want you to leave this area, go to some place, I'm going to give you this land," and there was test after test after test. That was just the beginning. The Bible doesn't point out all of those tests, but there would have been many. So we usually think of when Abraham was going to offer up Isaac. Well, that was when he was tested. Well, that was one of them. And friends, God tests our faith every day. He wants to be our friend. He wants to call us his friend. Do you want just anybody for your friend? Hopefully not. Hopefully we want to be selective in who our friends are. And God wants to be selective in who he calls his friend. And God wants faithful people. Well, back in Genesis, with the account of Abraham, in Genesis chapter 22, Genesis chapter 22, speaking of this test. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. The phrase I want to notice here: so Abraham rose early in the morning. Abraham was prompt. Here, God tells him that God says, I want you to offer your son, your only son. You go to this mount that I'm going to show you, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. If God had told us that, what would we do? Would we talk back to God? If we were going to carry it out, would we put it off? You know, come on, son, let's go on a 2-week getaway and spend some time together. Abraham was prompt. He rose early in the morning. He didn't procrastinate. And what was he actually going to do when he went and laid Isaac on this altar? What was an altar for? It was for worshiping God. It was for worshiping God, and Abraham wanted Isaac to offer up the dearest thing to Abraham was his son, and he wanted him to offer that up, and Abraham was prompt. When God wants us to worship, how prompt are we? And I'm not just talking about the assembly. I'm talking about worshiping God. Do we think of any and everything else to do? Or do we have that mindset, here is God, what God wants me to do. That's going to be my priority. I'm going to take care of this first before I do anything else. Well, Abraham was devoted. In Genesis chapter 12, and verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So here we see this is just one instance. As Abraham traveled, he built altars. And again, the purpose of the altar was to worship God. What does the scripture say about Abraham? He was the friend of God. Would God call us his friend based on the worship that we offer him? And notice too with Abraham, as he would go from location to location, he would worship God. And again, we have this collective worship today in the assembly where we come together to worship him with brothers and sisters. But are we devoted to God through the week? Are we devoted? Do we worship God? Do we praise him through the week? Or do we only do it when we come together? If we only do it when we come together, that's like institutional religion. Institutional. We'll come and we'll do it in this building. Friends, Abraham loved God, and God loved Abraham. They had that partnership, that companionship. Abraham was devoted due to him. We also, one of the things that we notice about Abraham that he is well known for is that he was a man of peace. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 8, so Abraham said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Abraham was a peacemaker. And he says to Lot, let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Do we look at our family as our family? We're all family here. We don't want to cause strife. We want to have the mindset of Abraham being a peacemaker. And where do you think Abraham got that from? We don't know how much was revealed to him, but you just stop and think about God being the supreme peacemaker, sending Christ to reconcile the Jew and the Gentile, both one in Christ in the church. He's bringing about peace. What a spirit that Abraham had. All of us should have that spirit too. If there is a choice between something, and you know, this is an old illustration, the story of the mother. If there is something to share, like a pie, and two children, you cut it in half and then let your brother have first choice. You know, people are going to be real exact on the size. Instead of saying, we've got to choose between something, you choose first and I'll take what's left over. That's the way Abraham was. We read about this mindset in the New Testament, Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, do you remember when we were studying the Beatitudes? For they shall be called the sons of God. The sons of God. Again, that relationship. Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If we want to see the Lord, we must be peacemakers, peaceful, pursue peace with all people, with holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete, be of good comfort. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. God is still the God of love and peace. And as His children, He wants us to be peacemakers. Something else that Abraham was noted for was being hospitable. And if you would turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 18, and we see the story where the angels came. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Did he know that these were angels? No, he just saw three men coming. Notice it says he ran. Abraham was an old man at this time, but he ran. What's that showing? The enthusiasm. He didn't pull his tent flap shut and think, oh, I hope they don't know I'm in here and they don't come and knock on my tent. He ran out to see him. He was hospitable. It says in verse 4, please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. He was being hospitable. And again, you think about someone traveling at that time wearing sandals and their feet would be dirty and filthy. And let me wash your feet. And again, we think of Jesus washing his disciples' feet, showing that attitude of being a servant unto others. And what was Abraham called? What was he called? He was called the friend of God. Would God call me his friend? In verse 6, so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Verse 7, and Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. So Abraham must have known that these are angels, right? You wouldn't go to all this trouble and sacrifice and take from your herd and give them this butter and milk if it wasn't somebody worth impressing. No, he was being hospitable. He was being hospitable. He recognized that everything that he had came from God, and he was sharing it with someone else. Romans 12:13, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. If we want to be children of God, if we want to be friends of God, if we want to be called the friend of God, we need to distribute to the needs of the saints, and we need to be given to hospitality. Hebrews 13:2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. This being a reference back to Abraham. And 1 Peter 4:9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Here we have hospitality as a command. Be hospitable. And again, we are to do it from our heart without grumbling. And we have the example of Abraham, he was enthusiastic about doing this and eager to do it. One of the other things I want us to notice about a quality of Abraham is that he was unselfish. He was not self-willed. Abraham was always thinking of others. And when Abraham and Lot separate, and Lot goes and chooses the plain toward Sodom and Gomorrah, and the wickedness there was so bad, and God revealed to Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what did that do to Abraham? Did he say, well, they deserve it? Look at how they live. What did Abraham do, that great patriarch? That drove him to his knees to plead with God, to beg with God, don't destroy him. Don't destroy them. He was pleading on behalf of the righteous people. Abraham tried to bargain with God. Abraham couldn't even find 10 righteous people living in Sodom and Gomorrah. If he had been able to find those, God would have spared it. But notice the attitude of Abraham. He was concerned. He was concerned that these people were going to die. They were going to be lost. Again, I have to ask myself, what is my concern with the world? There are millions, there are billions of people that are lost. Do we care about them? Somebody will say, oh, they aren't interested. That wasn't Abraham's attitude. Even if, you know, when someone says people aren't interested, I haven't said this, but the thought that goes through my mind is just ask them. You know, there's over 7 billion people in the world. Have you asked all of them? You know, there are people out there looking for God's word. They are searching for the truth. They want to be called the friends of God, but maybe they were raised in a religion and they think they're safe, but they aren't. And Abraham was concerned about this. Abraham was concerned about these lost souls. And what was that phrase that the Bible refers to Abraham? He was the friend of God. He was the friend of God. Brothers and sisters, Abraham was called a friend of God. Would God call me his friend? Would he call you his friend? Am I faithful? Am I prompt? Am I devoted? Am I peaceful? Am I hospitable? Am I unselfish? Friends, if we work at adopting these traits, these characteristics in our life, it will help us to have that personal relationship with God better. When I hear some people talk, and they talk about heaven, and they can't wait to get to heaven and talk to Abraham, talk to Moses, talk to Job, talk to Paul, talk to all the characters that we read about in the Bible. And I don't recall hearing too many people say, I can't wait to get to heaven and talk to God. You know, do we want to have a conversation with Him? Do we have that friendship, that relationship with Him? He's our Father. You think about God yearns, He desires, He's a jealous God. He wants us to cling to Him, to be a bride to Him. We are the bride of Christ. Are we considering what Christ really wants us to be and how to live? Or are we just looking at things as that institutional religion? We've got the right name on the door. We're worshiping on the right day of the week. We've gone through the acts. God will be pleased. Friends, God wants our heart. He wants all of us. Can God call us a friend? If not, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, I pray, dear friends, that we would examine our lives and change our lives so that He would call us His friend. As I said at the beginning, there's only two options. We are either His friend or we are His enemy. There's no in-between ground. We can't get close to Him. We've got to get all the way to Him. We can't be His friend if we are outside of the body of Christ. We can't be His friend if we are living in the world. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to make correction in your life so that you can be in Christ and God can call you His friend, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.